Welcome to another episode of Title Chasers, featuring me, Zach.
And Will.
Welcome to another episode of Title Chasers featuring me, Zach, and Will Lawrence here in the booth at Concord TV. What up, guys?
You sound like one of those try-hard YouTubers.
Ah, so you got my vibe. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of great stuff heading on to the show today, such as the MLB trade deadline.
Are you going to do this the entire episode?
Maybe just for the intro, if you zip your lips. Along with the trade deadline, we also got some great moves ahead, just as the NBA landscape is finally setting place. Who are in the playoffs and who are not? Lots of great things to unpack. It's going to be a great episode. Enjoy the ride, guys. All right, that's it.
All right, let's get into it. Welcome to another episode, guys. So, trade deadline happened. That was a thing this week. And one of the big names that was on the market was Mr. Noah Syndergaard.
Yes, he was.
Of the New York Mets. Mm-hmm. Where did he go, Zach?
Nowhere.
We are sorely disappointed, not only as baseball fans, seeing him in a pathetic franchise such as the Mets.
Yeah.
However, we are also disappointed as Red Sox fans because the Red Sox, as well as the Yankees, the Astros, a lot of big names, were making talks with him. Now, my sources tell me that the reason he didn't go to any of those places was because the New York Mets were asking for an arm and a leg for him. That's as it was worded to me. So, apparently, the Mets were so stupid, as they usually are, their front office is garbage, that they weren't able to give away Noah Syndergaard for any trade pieces that they considered personally valuable.
I like how they were sellers at the deadline, or they were poised to be sellers at the deadline, but yet they picked up Marcus Stroman from the Blue Jays. And then they were also talking about selling Syndergaard and Zach Wheeler and Edwin Diaz. I don't know if they know this or not, but they're not going to make the playoffs this year. They're not. I mean, you got the Braves, Nationals, and the Phillies in their division alone. And then you also have the Cubs, Brewers, and Cardinals in the NL Central. And then you also have the Rockies in the NL West. So you have a bunch of other teams that are significantly better than you. And you're staying pat for what? So that Syndergaard can walk when he's a free agent? That's genius. That's genius. That has Mets written all over it. All over it.
It's beautiful. Now, as we previously stated, the Red Sox did not land him. However, they did make some interesting moves right before the deadline, Zach. Tell me, what was their signature move during the deadline?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing, ladies and gentlemen. The Boston Red Sox, who are hanging onto wild card contention, blew their chances in the deadline. They did not pick up anybody. Okay, and now we're stuck with the pieces that we have. We have a locker room that doesn't feel like it has what it takes to win. Okay, we have ace pitchers who are struggling to maintain or even achieve a decent ERA. We don't have a closer, okay? Our bats aren't swinging the way they should be, all right? The only crystal emblem we have on this franchise this year is Michael Chavis, who just came out of nowhere. But besides that,
Rafael Devers, too. You got to give
Okay. Rafael Devers. He just hit a 3-1 blast into center field. 3-10 Yankees. Congratulations. That doesn't matter. What does matter is Dombrowski has to manage his team, and it's not happening. So I don't know what your thoughts are, Zach, but I'm not happy. I am not happy.
I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. We're going to be watching baseball in October. Except for it's not going to be the Red Sox. It's going to be the Yankees. It's going to be the Twins. It's going to be the Indians. It's going to be the Astros. But guess who's not going to be there? It's not going to be us. We're not going to be there. We're going to, me and fucking Dustin Pedroia, we're going to be watching it from the same spot. We're going to be watching it on the couch, drinking fucking Miller Lite. But you know what? We're going to be another fucking championship team who doesn't make the playoffs. And why don't we make the playoffs? Because suddenly now the owners don't want to spend money. Why did you give $20 million to Rick Porcello if you don't want to spend money? Can you answer me that? Can you answer me that, John Henry?
Facts.
And now you're gonna watch him walk. We could have had Syndergaard. We could have had Sale and David Price as our top three rotation. That's arguably the best in baseball. But now we have nothing. We have nothing. We're going to have to go home and cradle our old worn-out World Series from last year
and just
in misery.
Hide under our blankets and just be like, it's okay, it's okay. There's always next year.
We had to wait 86 years for a title, and we're going to have to wait another 86 with that fucking shitty bullpen. The fact that Ryan Brazier is our best arm. Ryan Brazier. If you go outside of Boston, if you ask them who Ryan Brazier is, they're like, I don't fucking know. Doesn't he go to fucking Leslie or something? Nobody knows who the fuck he is because nobody knows who Ryan Brazier is because he's not a good arm. But the Red Sox feel the need to pay him and the rest of the bullpen fucking pennies. Let Porcello walk and give us an arm, an actual arm, somebody who can actually get outs after the pitcher has left the start. It's as easy as that. It's simple. It's simple. It's simple analytics here.
Now, besides the trade deadline, there was a free agent that was available for months, right up until about, what was it, late June, early July. And he was a top-level bullpen arm. He had a crazy amount of saves last year during the regular season.
42, I believe.
Yeah, what was his name again? Oh, yeah, Craig Kimbrell, who is now with the Chicago Cubs. You know who picked up good players during the deadline? You know who? The Chicago Cubs, Zach.
I know.
They're in playoff contention. They're going to make strides this year. Where's Boston, okay?
You know, it's funny. There was another guy that the Dodgers signed a couple weeks ago. He played for a team last year, a championship-winning team last year. His name was Tyler Thornburg. Now, he's not the greatest arm. He's no Craig Kimbrell. But he's an arm, and he's not Brandon Workman. At least he has an ERA below fucking 7. I don't know if Brandon Workman's ERA is a 7, but it should be. It might as well be. All the blown saves. Good God. We have more. Imagine if we had a decent bullpen. Could you imagine if we had a bullpen like the Rays? Or the Braves. You know where we would be? We would be competing for the best record in the MLB. Because right now we're 10 games behind the Yankees. But we have over 20 blown saves, the most in the MLB. Even the Mets. The New York Mets. New York inferior Mets. The fucking New York Knicks of baseball. Even they have less blown saves than we do. Even the Mets. I mean, goddamn, that's where we are. And we're only 9 games above 500, and we've played 110 games. This is just pathetic. This is sad. This is the world that we live in.
Sad. Now, stepping away from the Red Sox for a hot minute, okay? Besides Boston, the New York Yankees, I think, also kind of underperformed in the trade deadline. They did not pick up a single closer, or not closer, starter, which they were in desperate need for.
Yeah.
None of their starting pitchers have an ERA below 4, okay? You're telling me that team is going to make it to the World Series?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
When they go up against the Houston Astros, which have it all. They have great defense on the field. They have a phenomenal infield. They have good bats. And they have a sturdy starting rotation and bullpen. Okay? That's a team.
That's a team to be reckoned with.
The Yankees, they have crazy bats, really talented guys in the batting order, okay? But look at their bullpen.
Their bullpen.
Look at their starters.
It's atrocious.
What's going to happen? What you going to do, New York? What you going to do? Nothing!
Remember last year when everyone said the Yankees were going to win because they had the best bats?
Mm.
And then Giancarlo Stanton struck out 4 times in a game?
Yeah. See, the people who say that are the people who watch fucking 3 games a year, okay? And they always wear the Yankees cap like, oh my God, go Yankees! Ah! Like, ah! Okay. I'm trying to calm down, Zach. I'm trying to calm down.
So the Astros acquired Zach Greinke. So now their top 3 starters are Zach Greinke, Justin Verlander, and Garrett Cole.
The Red Sox could have had Zach Greinke, bro.
As you guys can tell, Will is in shambles right now. He's in shambles. Shambles right now.
Why do you have to do this to me, Dombrowski? Why?
The funny part is the Indians are contending, and yet they traded away Trevor Bauer, which made no sense. And then they acquire Puig. It's like, what the hell are you doing? You trade away your top starter, and then you grab a bat. It's like...
Now, an interesting part about that trade, okay? Bauer's last moment as an Indian was throwing the ball, rather than giving it to Francona like you normally do, throwing it all the way over the center field wall and then getting screamed at by Francona. Then, bam, he's traded.
Ah, so that's why he's traded. But either way.
And Yasiel Puig was picked up by the Indians in return. His last moment in the Cincinnati Reds was a benches-clearing brawl, okay?
Yeah. 25. I think he was traded before the trade, but yeah, he was still racking it up with the homies.
Yeah.
That's respect right there. Thanks, Puig. Probably one of the most interesting players in the MLB.
I hate Puig.
Oh, I like Puig. other acquisitions. The Rays acquired Jesus Aguilera, some bats. They have a pretty weak lineup, so we'll see how that goes. Houston also acquired Martin Maldonado, some catching depth added there. The Braves. All the Braves. Mm-hmm. Already good bullpen. They acquired Shane Green, who has a 1.11 ERA. And they acquired Mark Melancon, a solid bullpen arm.
Mm.
Again, you know who could have acquired Mark Melancon or Shane Green? The Red Sox! But now... We're just gonna sweat it out.
Everybody hurts sometimes.
Matt Vargas goes to the championship-winning Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh.
Daniel Hudson goes to the Nats. So we had some pretty interesting moves. Fun fact: the trades made yesterday, were half of the amount of trades that were made last year at the trade deadline. Last year. Mm. There was 93 trades made in July. This year, it was 43.
Interesting.
That's insane. What does that mean? Baseball does everything wrong. Their trade deadline, their most interesting part of the best spectacle of their game, their trade deadline, where all the buzz is, the hot stove, nothing happened. I mean, granted, Zach Greinke got traded to the Astros, yada, yada, yada.
Zach Greinke, you mean that big top-level arm? Yeah, nothing really happened. Okay. Yeah, great, Zach. Awesome. Awesome.
No, it's sad. No, everything about baseball, they do it terribly. Their off-season's like 8 months long. Nothing happens. It's pathetic. And then their All-Star game, which is the best All-Star game around. I'll give them credit. But it lasts, like, 2 days, and then they go back to work. And then the rest of the league, the trade deadline's atrocious. The trade deadline, it could be so much better. It could be so much better. But instead, nothing. Just crickets. Hmm. Now, granted, maybe I'm just a little biased because the Red Sox didn't make a move. But that's probably not it. I'm going to have to say no.
Yeah, let's be real right now. If you were an Astros fan, you would be loving the MLB right now. You would be eating it up, okay?
I think I'm an Astros fan now. It's official.
Yeah. If you were a Cubs fan, Zach, you wouldn't be having that rant.
Yeah, I hate the trade deadline. I'm becoming an Astros fan. It's official.
Yeah.
You know, my parents are from Houston, right?
Well, I mean, let's look at the bright side, okay? The Boston Red Sox did not make any moves. They schlepped, okay? They took too much NyQuil, and they completely missed the deadline. All their alarms went off, but they didn't wake up, okay?
Yeah.
That sort of deal. Yeah. Showed up late, and by the time they got there, work was done, you know? However, at least they weren't... Wait.
Okay.
At least they weren't the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh.
They traded their top prospects in the minor system.
Hold on.
For guess who? Just guess who?
Oh, oh.
Drew Pomeranz! Drew Pomeranz! Okay? Giants! The San Francisco Giants must have gotten that phone call and they were like, what? Wait, you want to do what? Okay! You watch now. The Brewers are going to degrade. They're not going to make the postseason for another 20 years. And then the Giants are going to start another dynasty around this rookie, okay?
This is going to be a meme in like 5 years when this kid is a ball. He's an all-star, multi-time all-star.
Yeah, he puts the Giants back on the map. You know, he's a hero, hometown hero.
And then the Brewers get Drew Pomeranz.
Yeah.
Drew Pomeranz.
You know those memes that still go around like at random, like Seahawks should have ran the ball?
Yeah.
It's going to be that 5 years from now with MLB fans, all right?
It's like when the Hornets traded Kobe Bryant. Or like when the Seattle Mariners traded David Ortiz and Jason Varitek in the same trade to the Reds. Oh wait, never mind. Scratch that. Derek Lowe and Jason Varitek. Scratch that. Not David Ortiz. Sorry about that. I was getting ahead of myself. But you know what I'm talking about. Just like idiotic moves, stuff that like the Knicks make. But it's the Brewers. You know, the team that's made the playoffs like what, 6 times in 50 years? Probably that team. That team.
Yeah,
probably.
They're still a little rusty. I mean, they're really hot right now. I'm not hating on Milwaukee, but they need to get used to this being winners thing, you know? I mean, we're seasoned. We're veterans. Of course, we're not acting like it right now, Boston Dombrowski! But still, you know, the Brewers, they have time to learn, time to grow, time to blossom like a luscious daffodil, okay? So, yeah.
What do these moves mean moving forward? I'll tell you what it means moving forward. The Red Sox are out of playoff contention. They're not going to compete. They're gone. Their bullpen's atrocious. Even you know what could happen? They'll be in contention. I'll take this back. They'll be in contention until the last week, and they need to win 3 straight games or something to win, and then their garbage fucking relievers are going to wet their pants like they always do. They're going to blow their, I don't know, 40th game of the year, and then the Red Sox are going to shut it down. They're going to be like, all right, that's it. We're done. We're toast.
Or we make the wild card game. We have to play at Tampa, okay? And then Chris Sale's set to start, and he gets injured or sick or something, so he can't play. So instead of putting up one of our other starters, we just put Ryan Brazier, and then we lose.
Oh, man, if only we got Drew Pomeranz, dude, we'd be sold.
Dude, we'd be set right now.
Dude, why don't we just trade away Mookie Betts for Drew Pomeranz, dude? That would have been so iconic.
You know what's crazy about that? He was on the postseason roster for the Red Sox last year. Did not play a single inning, okay?
Yeah.
But he has a World Series ring from the 2018 World Series.
Man. What a guy.
Yeah.
Transitioning to basketball now. Now, finally, the NBA landscape has finally settled down. And now we get a sense of what teams are going to be in the contention. So,
It's looking spicy, folks. Spicy.
It is looking spicy. So, I thought it would be fun to name the playoff teams now, ahead of time. So that, in a couple months, you know, maybe 7 or 8 months from now, when things are really getting spicy, they'll come back to this podcast, episode 17 of Title Chasers, and they're going to go, wow, these guys were right. Mm. And they called all their shots. Or they'll come back and be like, damn, that Will kid is wrong. That Zach kid, damn.
Or they're just going to be like, damn, that Zach kid's such a fucking idiot.
Oh.
Will, he's got a crystal ball. Look at this. Everything's gone. I hope he put bets down on this roster because woo! Okay? But Zach, he's just going to be like, I don't know, crying in a corner or something.
They're going to be asking like, damn, Zach, were you just pulling all the strings in this operation? Are you pulling the strings to Adam Silver? Are you tinkering or are you doing something? No, guys, I'm not. You're going to see Will wetting his pants like usual. And yeah, so without further ado, I'll let Will go first. I'll let him embarrass himself. Will, you have the floor.
Okay, so cool. If we start with the Western Conference, I'll give you mine and then you do yours. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to tell you my top eight because.
No particular order or in order?
In order.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah. So number one, the number one seed of the West is going to be Golden State. Again.
Oh, God. This is already getting off to a bad start.
So they lost KD. Whatever. They're still a loaded team. They have the best shooter in the game. I think they can do it. Okay.
Man, I wish people could see my cringing face right now. Good God. Go ahead.
Continue. Okay. So seed number two, okay, is going to be the Lakers.
Okay.
I think that LA is going to bounce back, and the moves they made are going to work well. LeBron is going to stay healthy, and as a result, they're going to perform very well, at least in the regular season, okay? That and they don't have Lonzo Ball, so addition by subtraction.
Uh-huh.
All right, so number three, IMO, is going to be the Rockets.
Oh. God. Man.
They suck at defense, but I still think they're a pretty solid team. Okay. All in all.
Mm.
Number four is going to be the Clippers.
Uh-huh.
I think Kawhi is going to be a good addition. All right.
Yeah. And
as
Paul
we
George.
Saw
and
with Paul Toronto. George. And Paul George. Oh my God, how could I forget that? Number five, I think, is going to be the Trailblazers.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Yeah. I think they're still a really solid team. Lillard is a baller. Okay?
And they got Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, they did.
Who's a pretty good center.
Yeah, so I think they're still going to be pretty good. So number five goes to Portland. All right. Number six is definitely not going to be the Thunder. Okay. sorry, OKC fans, if those people even exist. I think it's going to be the Nuggets.
Yeah.
At six.
The Joker.
Yeah. And then number seven, I think, is going to stay the Spurs. And then, okay, number eight, I'm not really sure because number eight, I really don't care because number eight just is not making it past the first round, no matter what, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe the Kings, but I don't know. So.
Is it my turn now?
Yep.
Is it my turn?
Tell me who you got for the West,
okay.
Boy.
First off, Golden State is not going to be the number one seed. Why? Because Klay Thompson is injured for most of the season. Steph Curry, my boy, but it's him and Draymond. We'll get to Golden State later, but they're not the number one seed. Number one seed is going to be the LA Lakers. They are going to win roughly 60 games. That's my prediction. And barring injury, but they have LeBron James, arguably the best player of all time, if not the second best player of all time, and Anthony Davis, two of the most efficient players of all time. Number two, I have the LA Clippers. The LA Clippers with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. A whole bunch of other guys. They're going to be one of the best defensive teams, probably top five. And they got Kawhi, Paul George, and a whole bunch of other Guidos. It's going to be a hell of a time. Number three, I have the Utah Jazz. Now, you don't have the Utah Jazz in there, but the Utah Jazz are loaded. They got Mike Conley. They got Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert.
I forgot about the Oh, my God. Okay. Continue.
Your standings already suck anyways. It's okay. Number four, I have the Portland Trail Blazers. They got Lillard. They got McCollum. They got Whiteside. They got Boyce. It's going to be great. Now, number five, I have Golden State. Now, everyone's counting out Golden State because they lost Kevin Durant and they lost Iggy. Well, it is sad that they lost Kevin Durant. They're not going to be the number one favorite. But they still have Steph Curry, who's a top 10 player all time. I'll say it. And they got Klay Thompson coming back roughly around February, March time, roughly. They got Draymond, and they still got some good players around them. I get that everyone's upset that he left Golden State. But, I mean, yeah, he left, and they're not title contenders. But them losing Iggy, he's a great six man, don't get me wrong, but he's aging. They're moving off of him now so that later they don't have to pay him excess cash. He was owed like $17 million. They trade him. They don't got to worry about that. And they got D'Angelo Russell. And they're forgetting about D'Angelo Russell. Number six, I have the Denver Nuggets. I think the Denver Nuggets, they got the Joker. They're loaded. Jamal Murray. They're ballers.
I'm balling like the Nuggets. They're hating. I'm like, fuck it.
Number seven, I have the Houston Rockets. The Houston. Now, I'm not trying to jab.
All the way to seven. That's interesting.
Now, I don't want to. I don't want people to think I don't like the Rockets, but I think the Lakers are better. I think the Clippers are better. I think the Jazz are better. I think the Trailblazers are better. Golden State, like, they have two really great point guards playing two different positions. You got James Harden. You got Russell Westbrook, which you pretty much have two Russell Westbrooks on the same team, except for James Harden is a much better shooter, much better player than Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is out of his prime, ball-centric. Both of them are going to be hogging the ball. They have good players around them, but I don't think they're going to be... I think they'll still be a good team. They might win a playoff round, probably not against the Clippers in my standings, but if they were to face off against like a Jazz or a Nuggets team, they might have a chance, but nonetheless. And finally, number eight, and we both agree that the eighth seed doesn't matter because it's probably going to be a team that is still going to get smacked in the first round. So there's a couple teams that I have lingering over there. I think I have the Kings making the eighth seed, but it could very well be the Spurs, could very well be the Mavericks, and who knows, maybe the Pelicans. Who knows? Mm. Who knows? Forgot the Jazz. Ugh. I was waiting for the Jazz, but you're like, oh, I don't know.
Well, you want to know the truth about the Jazz, okay? They're a good team, I guess. But I just really don't like Utah. Fuck Utah. Like, as a state, okay? They just suck. They're boring. They don't have anything cool except a lot of Mormons. So, yeah.
The Salt Lakes.
Yeah, cool, cool. Guess what? I have salt in my kitchen, so what? Yeah, fuck Utah. They don't even exist in my standings. They're nowhere in this 15 list of teams, all right? It's 14 because no Utah. Sorry.
All right, let me hear your Eastern Conference. I can't wait to laugh at it.
All right, so number one seed is going to be the Bucks.
Uh-huh.
All right, enough said. Giannis is a baller. He knows how to carry his team. And, can't wait to see him perform again. Hopefully he doesn't just wipe the floor with the Celtics again. Granted, Kyrie's gone, so that's nice. We have Kemba Walker, which, let's be real, sounds a lot better with a Boston accent, all right? let me see. Number two is not going to be the Raptors, all right? With Kawhi being gone, I think that takes a big hit to them. I'm not even sure if they're in the postseason next year.
There's an argument for it, but I don't know.
Possibly. I think number two is going to be Boston, all right? I think Kemba was a really good addition. I think Tatum has a lot more experience going into this year. Playing with different players, playing with different superstars, I think he's going to perform better. I think our bench is still solid, and I think Taco is going to be a surprising player. I don't think he's going to be absolutely amazing, like top 10, okay? But I think he's going to be solid. He's going to be reliable.
A solid starter, okay.
Yeah. Maybe a fifth starter, okay? or just leading the bench. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes, I think.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be a really good, at best, handy player, utility player.
Saying that he was undrafted, I think he'll be worth the money regardless. We'll get our value with Taco.
It's a low risk move that they made. Low risk, high reward. So yeah, number two seed goes to Boston. I think number three is going to be the Brooklyn Nets. All right, KD and Kyrie. You know, two good players. Granted, Kyrie sucked with Boston, but devil's advocate, Kyrie was working with coaches, particularly a head coach who had a different sort of play style and strategy than Kyrie has, you know?
Much
so different. I don't think he blended in Boston. That was his main problem. Not only that, but Kyrie had a really big ego and surrounded massive. By a lot of other talent like Tatum, you know? He just didn't fit in. He wasn't able to carry the team like he wanted to. He wasn't able to be LeBron in Boston because a LeBron-esque figure doesn't work in a city like Boston. So, however, I think he's going to be really good with Brooklyn. Hopefully him and KD mesh well in the locker room. I'm not quite sure. But we'll see what happens. I think they're going to be a number three seed. Number four is going to be the 76ers, all right? Sure, they lost Butler. However, I still think that they're going to be a pretty solid team. I don't think they're going to do much in the playoffs, as per usual, but
okay.
I...
Okay.
Number five, this is an interesting one. It could very well still be the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, they had Victor Oladipo back.
Yeah,
so I remember that.
So, assuming that injury doesn't spar them again, I think they're going to be at number five. And then this is where things get kind of interesting because we have a lot of teams moving around. I think the sixth seed is going to be the Raptors.
Okay.
It could very well be that they don't make the playoffs, but I think in this scenario they do. I think it's within reasonable argument.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to get past the first round.
Oh,
okay.
No. Of course not.
But I think that they're going to be an interesting sixth seed. All right.
A force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. Now, seventh seed. This is interesting. I honestly see it being the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
With Jimmy Butler there, I think that Heat is going to be back on the playoff scene. All right. And at number eight, I have the Atlanta Hawks.
Damn it, Will. You took my hot take.
They made really awesome off-season moves, particularly with the draft. I think DeAndre Hunter is going to be a baller. Therefore, they're going to be an eighth seed.
I'm calling it now. He's going to be a first-team all-rookie. That's an easy take.
Interesting.
I think that's an easy take.
I'd like to see that happen.
Now I'm going to do my... I think our Eastern Conference is relatively similar, but... Number one, we both have the Milwaukee Bucks. They're the biggest team. They got Giannis. That's a team to be reckoned with. I think the Raptors had a magical season, and that's why they kind of took the Bucks and defeated them convincingly. But I think the Bucks are still the best team in the East with a considerable gap. Number two seed, I have the 76ers. Now, you have the 76ers fourth seed.
Interesting.
I think the top four seeds could all... win the East, but I think the 76ers have more talent than the Nets and the Celtics, so that's why I have the 76ers above these other two. Number three, I have the Celtics. I think the Celtics could win anywhere between 52 and 55 games. They could win a lot of games this year. I think with Kemba compared to Kyrie, they're two very different players. Kyrie is isometric, while Kemba is a pass-first player. And with everyone around him, like Jason Tatum, who is entering his prime, they say the third and fourth year are when you're supposed to enter your prime. Jason Tatum has been incredible, and he's going to get more touches because, well, Jason Tatum could be arguably the best player on the team next year if he makes the leap that we expect him to. Still have Jaylen Brown. We got Enes Kanter, who's a great personality. And so Yeah, we did lose a lot of players, but I think that when we mesh, I think we might struggle out of the gate, but I think that we'll ultimately end up with the third seed.
Now, you got to keep in mind, too, that we still have Daniel Tice, thank God.
Oh, shut up. Number four, I have the Brooklyn Nets. Now, KD's going to be gone for a big chunk of the season, so it's going to be Kyrie being Kyrie, not passing the ball, trying to, you know, shoot over two defenders. But I still think they win 50 games. And when KD comes back, I'll be sweating. Number five, I have the Pacers. They have Victor Oladipo back. They're a pretty solid team. I'm not super impressed. I don't think they're a title team, but they could win a playoff round. Number six, I have the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler. Like I said, I think they could win maybe a playoff round, but that's probably about it. Number seven, I have the Toronto Raptors. Still have Kyle Lowry. They still have great depth. They just need a star because, you know, Kawhi left. And number eight, you spoiled my hot take, but I have the Atlanta Hawks. Now, there's always a team in the mix, and I think another team that could potentially take that spot is the Pistons. I don't think the Magic are going to make the playoffs again. I don't think the Magic deserved to make the playoffs last year.
They shouldn't have made the playoffs last year. Like, what the hell?
They got spanked. And, you know, just for fun, I'm going to put the team that's going to have the worst record. It's going to be the Thunder. Thunder are going to win less than 20 games. So that's our NBA standings. Maybe later we'll do our NBA postseason prediction. But, you know, I think that's good enough for now. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Granted, you stole my hot take, but, you know, it's I'll let it slide this one time.
Yeah. It's like they say, wise minds think alike.
Uh-huh. Another cool thing that was happening on in the sports world this week, there's been a lot of drama with the Cowboys. No surprise.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, yeah, Cherie. How about them Cowboys? Zeke wants a new contract, although he has 2 years left on his contract. So he's complaining that he needs a new contract, even though he has two more left on his rookie contract.
Mm.
Now, there's two angles that you could take on it. It's like pay the player now because they have a short shelf life, especially running backs. But there's another angle where it's like you have 2 years left in your contract, man. Like, and there's been multiple brush-ups with the law. He's been suspended. And so I just wanted to hear your thoughts on good old Zeke demanding a contract extension 2 years out.
I don't think he's going to get it.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, and nor do I think he should. I mean, he's a very interesting player. I admire his talent. However, I don't think, you know, 2 years, a lot can happen to an athlete, especially a football player.
Oh, okay? My God, yeah. He could tear his ACL and never be the same.
Yeah, so if I were the Cowboys, I'd say, fuck no, you know?
See how you play this year, and we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But it's interesting, because Jerry Jones was asked about it, and you know what his quote was? This is hilarious. He says, you don't need a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl.
Ooh.
You know what he's saying? Fuck off, Zeke. Come to camp. That's what he's saying. Because he's got to pay Amari Cooper, and he's got to pay Dak Prescott.
Because
both of them, their contract expires this year. After this year, they need to sign Dak and Amari.
Yeah.
And obviously a quarterback is more important than a running back. A running back, you can replace him with a first-round pick.
Yeah.
He's disposable.
But quarterbacks are harder to come by, quality quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, look at the Broncos. The Broncos are a mess.
Mm.
They're like, oh, we'll replace Peyton Manning with Paxton Lynch. How about Trevor Siemian? You know what? Let's try Case Keenum.
Mm.
Now they have Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know I shouldn't have brought the Broncos in there, but I had to because they have a disaster at quarterback. So back to the Zeke thing. He's had two brush-ups with the law already, and he's only been into the league a few years. His latest run-in with the league was he was in Las Vegas, and there was a video captured with him seemingly pushing a security guard against a guardrail until he fell over. Now, Roger Goodell decided not to suspend him, but that doesn't mean anything. Roger Goodell's a doorknob.
Yeah.
He was suspended six games in 2017. The team went 3-3 without him. And when he came back, they lost their elimination game, and it eliminated them from playoff contention. In those six games, Four of those times, they rushed for over 100 yards. One game, they rushed for 180 yards without him.
Oof.
That makes me see, we don't need Zeke.
Destroyed with facts and knowledge.
Zach Shapiro.
Yeah.
On your case. So I don't think he deserves his contract yet. Give him a
Interesting.
Year.
Interesting.
I mean, he'll be great. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, if it was next year and he did that, oh, yeah, pay him. He deserves it. He's a great running back. If he has another season like he's had, then, yeah, give him the money. He rushed for, like, 1,400 yards last year. He's a monster. He's an amazing talent. He's a great – not only is he a great running back, but he also catches the ball. So he's a good option for Dak. And definitely, I mean, Dak's a better player with Zeke because he gets the pressure off. So, like, I'm all for Zeke getting a contract extent and getting his money, but not this year. Like, prove yourself one more year. I think he's a very talented running back, but he definitely – he needs to – this isn't the NBA. You don't demand contract extensions 2 years out.
Yeah. Not only that, but I think that brush-ups with the law outside of the field should scare organizations a lot more than it seemingly does, you know?
Yeah.
Because all it takes is for him to get in such a bad situation that he gets locked up, and then, bam, you just lost one of your best players, you know?
And you have to cut him.
Yeah.
Look what we did. Look, prime example, New England Patriots. They signed Aaron Hernandez to a 5-year deal. Huge contract. And he deserved it at the time because he was one of the best tight I mean, outside of Gronkowski, he was probably the best tight end.
Yeah.
You know? Arguably, you know? And then next thing you know, he killed two people. So he had to get locked behind bars and they had to cut him. They still had to pay him that money. I think 43 of it was guaranteed. They had to pay him $43 million to fucking get raped in a jail cell.
Yeah.
You know, and then so I think that either they're going to move off of him or he's going to come to camp. If he's smart, he goes to camp. Another great running back is also holding out, and that's Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon of the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, his makes more like he has a case. He's been a good running back. He's played, I think, 3 seasons now. But his issue is that he's had multiple injuries. In 3 years, he's missed 9 games. And he's had 3 separate injuries to the same knee. MCL tear, PCL tear, and a knee tear. Just an outright knee tear.
Ugh.
So that those knees are getting old real quick. He's missed 9 total games. He's only played 1 full season once. Once. Now, it looks like they're pretty far off. He wants $13 million annually. The Chargers are only offering him $10 million annually. If he wants to get his money, I think eventually they'll work it out. But at the same time, I mean, owners can be really greedy. So
yeah,
I wouldn't want to see him leave the Chargers. I think the Chargers really, they're an amazing team that, you know, will lose to the Patriots in the second round.
When they have to play in Foxborough when it's 19 degrees out.
And they have, you know, and they wet their pants.
Yeah.
Like they always do. I love it. The Chargers, they're a team that I, like, root for, but I know not to have high expectations for them.
Yeah.
They're a team that are like, oh, okay, they got Phillip Rivers. They got Melvin Gordon. Oh, their team's loaded. But then you know that something's going to happen. They're going to fumble it up. They're going to fumble it. They're like, I don't want to call them the Knicks because the Knicks are, like, awful, but they're closer to, like, how the Raptors were before they got Kawhi. They're like, they have a great team, and they could, but they probably won't because they're going to fumble it. They're going to lose to an 8th seed, or they're going to have a 3-1 lead and blow it, something along those lines. I'm not saying they did that, but that's something that would be Raptors-esque, you know? But now, you know, it's the Chargers. They just kind of choke it away. Like they just kind of choke. That's their shtick.
Yeah.
And it's a real shame because, like, I think the Chargers, I prefer them over the Rams in L.A. I don't really understand why they moved to L.A., but I think they're a team that everyone, like, doesn't really pay attention to. So, I feel for them. I mean, I think they probably have the best roster in the AFC, but, you know, the Patriots, they could play, you know, fucking prison guards and they'd still win the East. You know, and the Chiefs, The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, who's significantly better than Phillip Rivers. So, but it's been a great episode. I think that we should conclude the show for today.
All right.
So we have three more episodes after this. Our episode will conclude August 23rd. It'll be our 20th episode, and then we will go on a short break and decide what to do from here. But it's been a lot of fun doing the show with you guys. Want to thank Concord TV again for letting us use this facility.
Very luscious facility.
Very luscious.
They just got some new microphones. You guys can probably tell if you compare this to older episodes, but these mics are so nice.
They're crispy.
Oh, shout out to you, Josh. You're the man. So
we'll see you guys next week on Title Chasers.